Hallelujah. We serve a good God. Amen. I got a word today. I got a word for me. Amen. So the word I have is for?
Me.
Hallelujah. Yes, yes. Well done. You're catching on. The word I have is for?
Me.
Me. So tell your neighbor. This is the title of my sermon today. Tell your neighbor, unleash miracles with your mouth. Oh, God. Okay. Say, I am going to unleash my miracles with my mouth. And say it like you mean it. Say it like you believe it. Because, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, the power of death and life are in the word. In the tongue. So say to your neighbor, it's in your. Did you see what I did? Say, do this to your neighbor. It's in your tongue. So it's, you know, I know it's normally rude to do this. But today we're. Come on, look at your neighbor and stick out your tongue at them. So power of death and life in the tongue. You know, we're made in the image of God, in his likeness. Remember Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So, as soon as God created the heavens and the earth, he says it. The earth was without form and void and darkness. So there was a problem, right? What was the problem? Darkness. What happened next? Verse 3. The Bible says, then God said, let there be light. God didn't say, gosh, there is darkness. What am I going to do with darkness? And you know, like when God was going to make man, God said, let us make man in our image, yeah? So he confided God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit all in one. Yes, let us make man. He didn't say, oh, what are we going to do about this problem? What are we going to do about this? That no. What did God do? He spoke. He said, let there be light. So right here now, I believe that God is saying to someone here, stop focusing, stop magnifying, stop talking and talking and talking about the problem. Start declaring and decreeing the solution in the name of Jesus. You speak the word. Let there be light. And what happened? There was light. So speak the word. Speak the solution, not the problem. Amen?
Amen.
So tell your neighbor, speak the word. In Jesus' name. Isaiah 55:11. I wanted that in the Amplified Version. It talks about the word of God. It will not return unto him void. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55:11. Amen. Whilst they're getting that out, I'm just going to get my props. Isaiah 55:11. It says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without producing any effect. It won't be useless. But it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So the word will not return void. It means it will not, you know, you can't speak the word and have it not produce any effect. It will not be useless. Say, the word of God over my life will produce effects in Jesus' name. Every word of God I'm standing on, none will be useless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to ask your neighbor a question. So that's it about the word. How many of us have things that we're believing God for here? If you don't have, I'll give you a list of what I'm believing God for. So please put up your hand if you. So, okay, everyone, right? I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, what is the word you're standing on? Say scripture and verse. Give me scripture and verse. What is the word? Scripture and verse. Someone sent John 3:16. Hallelujah. Over saved. Amen. Luke 1. No, guys, please get the word. I'm believing God that 2017 I will be debt free. The Bible says, I am a lender to many nations, not a borrower. I'm standing on that word. What we can stand on is the word of God. Stand on the word. So get, tell your neighbor, neighbor, pinch them. Say, neighbor. Oh, I love these guys. They did not obey me. They shook hands like neighbor. Well done, guys. Neighbor. I'm not preaching violence. But the kingdom of God suffers violence. The violent take it by force. So sometimes, you know, some things are tough love. Because if I pinch my neighbor and say, get the word. When they get home, they will still be thinking, oh my gosh, that was so painful. Oh my gosh, why did I get a pinch? I got a pinch because I need to get a word. Get a word. Hallelujah. So say to me, get a word, stand on the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know Jeremiah 29:11. We all know that scripture, right? Sorry? Jeremiah 29:11. He says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace. I wanted the King James Version, please, of this one. So we're standing on the word. God has a plan for all of our lives. And his plans for us are always, always, always good. Yeah? Jeremiah 29:11 talks about he has a plan for us to give us a hope and a future, to bring us to an expected end. So this is how life is for us. It's a journey, right? Everyone has a God has mapped out a plan for every single one. So, and the plan God has for my life is different from everyone. So the path that everyone has to walk is different. It's because we're all unique. God has different plans. So this is mine. Yeah, that is my expected end. Please bring it out in the old King James, KJV. He says, anyway, basically what he says is to give you a hope and a future and to bring you to an expected end. So this is where we start from. And that is the expected end. Amen. God has planned that. Come what may, we are going to get here. Amen. And we get here, we have the word of God. We have the promises of God over our lives. Amen. And Revelation 20:13 says that he is the Alpha. Please come, two of you. He is the Alpha. So Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Amen. So this is us here, and this is God. Okay, and then we have the promises of God. And then also, he says that he is a God. In Isaiah 46 verse 10, he declares the end. You know, first and last. He declares the end from the beginning. So God has already declared it. He's purposed it. He's planned it. And, you know, he says it here. Yeah? Declaring the end and the results from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things that are yet to come. My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure and purpose. So whatever it is that God has planned and purposed for each one of us, the Bible says it will stand. Amen. He has declared the end from the beginning. But sometimes what happens is we start from the beginning. And we start, and sometimes, you know, when we start, it's kind of good. And then stuff happens. Life happens. Obstacles. I mean, name it. Failures, disappointments. Stuff. Whilst you're standing on the word, please say thank you. At the same time, we're standing on the word. I'm standing on the word of God for my life. And it still looks like it's not happening. It really isn't happening. Stuff is just going on. And it looks like I'm here. And like there's no more connection. Like it looks like, how am I going to get there? How many people sometimes you face some situations and you're thinking, Lord, it's just not looking like, it's not looking like I thought it would look. It's not looking, God, I'm here. I didn't think I'll be here at this stage of my life. Lord, How did I get here? I remember getting some news last year. And I remember my sister, she's not here, Auntie Ruth. I remember I went looking for her. I went looking. I said, Auntie Ruth, where are you? wherever you are, I'm coming to find you. And I remember breaking down and crying. You know when you cry from your intestines? I cried from my, because it was like, Lord, and I kept on saying, how did I get here? How? I didn't understand. Like, Lord, how did I get here? How did I get here? And it just looked like it's just not making sense. What do you do in circumstances like that? How many people you've had a similar situation where you're thinking, Lord, how? What's going on? How did I get here? How? What is how in French? Because I like French. No, how is qu'est-ce pourquoi? No, pourquoi is why. Even I know French more than you. Pourquoi is why. See? You thought the only one I knew. I should be asking. Come on. How? How did we get here? So, hey, hallelujah. So stay with me. And you're thinking, so in times like that, just remember, times like that, you're facing this thing and you're thinking, how did I get it? What do you do? What do you do? Ask your neighbor, Lord, what do you do? Times like that. Okay, we're going somewhere. I'm on a journey. We're going somewhere. Shall we turn to the John chapter 11? We're going to read a story right now. It says, now a certain man named Lazarus was ill. He was of Bethany, the village where Mary and her sister Martha lived. Another version says the town of Mary and Martha. You know, when you read something like that, it didn't even name the town, the village of Mary and Martha. The town, that means Mary and Martha had what? Influence. Like Wembley. They're not saying Wembley. The town where Harvest Church is based. That is like that is influence. Amen? So we'll keep on. And then he goes on to describe this Mary. This Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus that was sick. So the sisters sent to him saying, Lord, he whom you love so well is sick. Right there. Why did they call on Jesus? Why did they call? Please talk to me. Why did they call on Jesus? So they knew he could heal the sick. They had a relationship with him. And they were standing on the word. Remember, we stand on the word. I believe they were standing on Jeremiah 33, verse 3. You guys can quickly turn to it. And Isaiah 65:24 talks about... Gosh, I can't see with these glasses. It says, it shall come to pass so that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. So they were standing on that word. They were standing on Jeremiah 33, verse 32, which talks about when you call, I will answer. So they sent for Jesus. Remember, they had a relationship. So they could tap into that relationship, sent for Jesus. Lord Jesus, whom Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. Please continue verse 4, John 11. When Jesus received the message, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but on the contrary, it is to honor God and to promote his glory, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. So stay there, please. So when Jesus heard the word, what did he do? He spoke. That's all he did. He spoke. He said, this sickness is not to end in death, but it is to... So he spoke. Amen? Two things from there. John chapter 1, verse 1. Don't worry, you just stay here. Stay in the scriptures because I'm continuing here. John 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning And the word was who? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus heard that news, and what he did was he spoke. This sickness will not end in death. Amen? He spoke. He spoke his word. But also remember, in the beginning was the Word. Who is the Word? Hallelujah. So he did not physically go there, but he went there by sending the word. Amen? And then also think about this. He says here, this sickness is not to end in death. We know this story, right? Not to end in death. So what Jesus did was he spoke to the end matter. Amen. Those are some of the obstacles with your heels. Amen. You know, so he spoke to the end matter. He knew what was to come. Like, okay, this sickness, what the devil is trying to do is take Lazarus out before his time. So Jesus sent the word there and said, this sickness is not going to end in death. Amen. So I declare and decree to you here today, no matter what your situation, no matter what the circumstance, the Lord has sent his word ahead of you. He sent his word. He has sent his word. And forever his word is settled in the name of Jesus. So even before Lazarus died, even before his body hit the grave, the word of God was there. Amen. Lying there waiting to preserve that body, that he will not die. He will live to declare the good works of the Lord. Amen. He knows the end from the beginning. Amen. So he sent forth his word. Amen. But can I say something? Go to verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and Mary and her sister Lazarus. He loved them, but he heard the news and didn't come. Guess what kind of love is that? You heard that my brother is sick. You didn't come. He stayed two more days. How many people here, sometimes you think, this breakthrough is long overdue. There has been a delay. There has been a delay. There has been a delay. What do you do when there's been a delay? And the thing you're waiting on is not happening. And it doesn't look like it's going to happen. Because I called out to Jesus. He's meant to answer me quickly. While I'm yet speaking, he answers. But he's not answering. He's quiet. Look, even when circumstances and situations are quiet, the word of God speaks. So you hold on to the word of God. That's what matters, the word of God. But listen, Mary and Martha did not know that Jesus sent his word. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you pray and it looks like nothing has happened, no, he sent his word already. He sent his word already. They didn't know they were there. All they knew was that he stayed back two more days. What? What manner of love is this? Continue, please. Then after that interval, he said to his disciples, let us go back again to Judea. So, when there's a delay, what do you do? What do you do? You don't know what God is doing. Let me show you something. Here, I now have green fingers in the name of Jesus. I just killed this cactus, but it's okay. Right. Have a look at this. This is the word of God. The word of God. You know, the Bible says a farmer went out to sow. We sow the word. So this is our soil. Right? And we plant some seeds. Put it in, mix it in, plant it. So this is the word of God. We've planted the seed. Right? It's in there. Can anyone see what's going on in the ground? Please tell me. Prof is a prof. He's a prophet. He can see. Prof, can you see what's going on in the soil? This is the soil. Can you see what's going on in the soil? Please, anyone who can see what's going on in the soil. When you plant, can anyone see what's going on in the soil? No. the word of God, when you sow it into the ground, we speak it, we declare it, we pronounce it, we proclaim it, it's a seed. We sow it in there. All we do is we water it. And sometimes, like, what's going on? It's not growing. You don't know what's going on because the roots are forming. The roots are, you just have to keep waiting and declaring and keep putting water in it. That's all you need to do. Water it. And then one day, voila. Amen. So that's what happens. Amen. Your seed, and then he pops up. Amen. So keep speaking the word. Keep standing on the word. Keep on. Amen. So we go on. It says, it seems like Jesus was late. Amen. Let's jump to a few scriptures here. Then we'll go on to verse 14. It says, then Jesus said to them, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Because sometimes you know what it is. God is doing something in our lives that is going to impact other people's lives. He says, I'm glad that I was not there. I waited for him to die. But it's because you, my disciples, I'm going to take you there. You will see with your eyes and you may believe. So sometimes when God is doing what he's doing, he's doing it. He's doing also for other people so that their lives will be blessed and that his name will be glorified. Amen? So that's one thing. And then, so verse 14, we've read that. And then when we go to verse 17, he says, so when Jesus came, when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. So he was 4 days late. So Bethany was near Jerusalem. Go on to verse 19. So a considerable number of Jews had gone to see Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Go on. Aha. Verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him while Mary remained sitting in the house. Do you remember Mary? Mary was the one who worshipped with her hair. Remember the story of Mary and Martha? Martha was busy cooking. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. Why would Mary stay in the house and not go to Jesus? I think Mary was really hurt and disappointed that, Lord Jesus, we told you about our brother and you came late. You're here now, but it's too late. It's too late. He's dead. What are you going to do? He's dead. We know you were raising him up by the resurrection, but he's dead. Anyway, basically what happened was they called Mary to come. Martha went back and told Mary, Jesus is asking for you. And Jesus came. No, actually, let me backtrack. When Martha got to Jesus, verse 20, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So remember what Martha said. So when Mary came to Jesus, she said the exact same thing. This is in verse 32. Then when Mary came to Jesus and saw him, she dropped down at his feet. She went on her knees and said the same thing that Martha said. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha and Mary said the same thing. But what Martha said, she said it standing up. Mary said it kneeling down, bowing down in worship. And I want to encourage you, whatever you go through, you know, her brother was dead. She was disappointed. She was in pain. But even then, she came to Jesus. She came worshiping him. So no matter what we're going through, especially when we don't understand, the key thing we need to know is that in all things, we worship the Lord. We worship our Savior. We worship our Master. The next thing Jesus said is, where did you bury him? And he went on, and we know he raised Lazarus from the dead. But the key thing I want to say is Mary bowed down. Remember David when he lost his son? When, you know, he had an affair with Bathsheba. After the son died, The servants didn't know what to say, David, because they had seen that he had been fasting. He wasn't eating. And then they thought, oh gosh, now that his son is dead, what will he do? But when David found out, what did he do? He washed himself and he went into the house of the Lord and he worshipped. Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, they were singing psalms to the Lord and they worshipped. And then breakthrough came. In the name of Jesus, as you go through whatever you go through, remember, worship the Lord. Bathsheba, Solomon came from Bathsheba. Job too, when he had his trying times, he still worshipped the Lord and God restored to him double. Mary and Martha saw their brother resurrect. In the name of Jesus, I declare and decree that that same resurrection power is here today in the name of Jesus to resurrect and make every dead dream come alive. Every hope, every disappointment, every dream that's died, God wants to make it come alive. We come, we worship the Lord in spite of and despite all we're going through. We worship. And you know, the Lord said to, Jesus said, when Lazarus came out of the tombs, tied up, he said, loose him and let him go. So Lazarus came out from the dead, from the grave. But Jesus needed people to untie him, to remove all the dead clothes. And I believe the Lord is saying to us this year, today, year of expansion, we need to partner with God to help pull people from the clutches of death and take off their dead clothes. Because Lazarus needed someone to untie him. And hey, amen? So will you? Will you, in the name of Jesus, reach out to someone? Because there's someone who is dead, who is in the grave, that needs to come alive in the name of Jesus. And we are the ones that God is waiting on to help take off their clothes in Jesus' name. As we end 2017, make that your heart's desire. And also, please stand to your feet. I believe there are people here. Dreams have died, and God wants to make them come alive. Hopes have been lost, and he wants to make them come alive. I want you to lift up your hand just in worship right now and say, Lord, I may not understand. In fact, it's not I may not understand. I do not understand, but I know that you are the great I am that I am. You are the God who you have declared the end right from the beginning. And you know, the Bible says your beginning may be small, but your latter end will be great. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is saying that to you today, that those dreams will come alive. That marriage, God can put his hand on it. That your child that you're looking at and you're praying for, God is able to bring him or her back like the prodigal son. In the name of Jesus, your desires for ministry, God can fulfill it. He wants to fulfill it. In the name of Jesus, just worship him from the depths of your heart right now. And say, Lord Jesus, I worship you. I worship you. I surrender all to you. I surrender my life to you. I give it all to you. I give you my dreams. I give you my desires. I give you my hopes. In the name of Jesus, amen.